morning, church family. I'll be reading from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king that will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Where's the clicker?
Is it up here? Am I supposed to have it, or are you going to do it? Well, I'll start without it. The title of my message today is entitled A Panoramic View of the Kingdom of God. From the very beginning, I guess that'll work. From the very beginning, God had in mind the kingdom of God. It's not a New Testament idea. In fact, we might say the kingdom of God was in God's mind when he decided to create mankind. When he decided to give his life for all of mankind. Human beings try to form kingdoms. They involve their subjects in warfare, violence, destruction. They do all kinds of things to build up a momentum whereby they can rule the whole world, exercise their power. It seems to be a part of human nature to want to rule. And in fact, if we look at Scripture, we'll see that God says, let us make man in our image and let him have dominion. Let him have rulership. And God gave man limited rulership. He put him in charge of the animals. And of course, as populations would grow, naturally he would be in charge of his family, his children, and they would evolve into a larger population, a larger community. And they would eventually become a full-fledged kingdom. Well, we know that things got off to a bad start because there's an adversary who's opposed to God and what he's trying to do. He's known as Satan the devil, that serpent, that wily serpent, who for some reason does not want to come under the authority and the power of God, does not want to be ruled by God, does not want to be subject to the principles of God. We know God is a God of love. We were taught in times past, and I think it's still valid, that God's way is that of giving, of sharing. And unless you are a sharer or a giver, you cannot live kingdom life. You cannot live the way God lives, because God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so I believe God says, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to first of all give man a chance to try it his way, which is the way of get. How many of you here like to get? Can I see your hand? You love to get. Yeah, we love to get, you know. We love to receive gifts. And we came into this world wanting to get, right? But we know that getting is not God's way, because God is outgoing. And what is there for God to get anyway? He owns heaven and earth. He controls every molecule, every atom, every subatomic particle in the universe. It all belongs to God. And so God says, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I know I'm going to make me a kingdom, and I'm going to acquire subjects, and I'm going to teach them to be like me. Hence, we glorify God by being like God, thinking like God, acting like God, living like God, having the mindset of God. And so God, from the very, very beginning, when he made Adam and Eve, it wasn't just about Adam and Eve. It was more. It was a bigger picture than that. It was about human entities coming to want to become like God, to share the God life, the kingdom life, giving. You know, we think that the more that we get, the better things are for us. But in reality, the more that you give, the richer you become. The richer you become. That's a principle that we have to somehow in our lifetime become convinced of. Because everybody around us want to get, you know, somebody wants this from you and trying to get that. And the reason they don't have is because they don't have faith in God. Adam and Eve was told by the devil that they could have it all, even though God didn't want them to have it all. God gave them the garden, a beautiful garden. Can you imagine that? Beautiful garden with everything there that you could ever imagine as a human being. Fruit trees bearing all kinds of luscious fruit. Not this kind you buy in the store that's kind of withered up and they've been preserved and they keep it, you know, alive as long as they can so they can sell it. Fresh, luscious grapes, plums, apricots, all kinds of fruit, bananas, mangoes. I love mangoes, especially the mango punches and things like that. They had it all, plenty of room. Temperature was right. Can you imagine, have you ever gotten up in your house and you put your feet on the floor in the wintertime and the floor is cold and it just permeates your whole body? And then when the weather gets just right and you put your feet on the floor, then you realize, man, that temperature makes a difference. But they had it all. Beautiful weather, climate perfect. They were hermetically sealed. The sunlight didn't penetrate to wrinkle their skin. They didn't have to get oil of Olay, you know, to keep that skin looking beautiful. It was just there. But something happened. They lost it all because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. And so what did God have to do? He had to put them out of the garden. Put them out there and give them a shovel and a pick and have them plant their own corn and rice and whatever else they ate at that time, I don't know. They had to struggle in life. And so human beings come along and say, I don't like struggling. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enslave other populations and make them work for me, and I can have a nice lifestyle. I can have a nice car. I can have 4 or 5 cars, maybe 50 cars. I can have pools in my yard. I can have grass growing everywhere. And I can make other people do it for me. I can get it all. And we love to get it all, don't we? We love to have possessions. We love to have comfort. You know, they lost all that comfort they had by disobeying God, and God only had one restriction for them. He says, don't eat of this one tree. Because that tree symbolized losing it all. That's what that tree really symbolized, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because, you know, in God's way of thinking, once you make a mistake, you can't go back. It's like we sing the song, you can't, we don't want to go back. Disobeying God once we discover who God is and what he's all about. And so God says, you know, in order to keep it in order, we all got to think the same way. And I'm your model. I'm the one that you are to emulate. But as human beings, what do? We look around us and we see who's most stylish, who's got the prettiest hair, got the nice fingernails, who got the nice suit, you know, car. And we emulate them because we say, man, he must have it all. Or they must have it all. And you got to get, you know, you got to get a certain level of income. I remember long, long ago when I used to teach YOU, I asked my students, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? And I had them write it down on a piece of paper. And they wanted cars and apartments and nice jobs. You know, at that time, you know, we were keeping the feasts. And you know, when you go to the feast, you got lots of money in your pocket. You live in a nice hotel. And you know, you don't have no responsibility as far as work is concerned. And you can come and go as you please. You don't have to wash any dishes because you go to a restaurant and the restaurant takes care of all those things. The maid comes in and makes up your bed, maybe, I don't know. Depends what kind of hotel you're staying in. But life is easy. Life is nice. And they had gotten used to that. They love going to the feast and being with their living off their parents' pocketbook. And that's the way we are. You know, we want what God has to offer. But, you know, human beings and children, they don't like to cooperate. They don't like to do it the way the parents want it done. They don't know what kind of effort it took to get that kind of money to be able to afford them the lifestyle that they have tasted. And so God wants us to be prepared for the lifestyle that he wants to give us. But it takes a certain type of mindset. We can't all be going off in different directions with different ideas and different concepts. And so God had that in mind. I have to get this across to my people, those that I choose, those that I wish to incorporate in my government, in my kingdom. And I want them to understand what it takes to have a kingdom of joy, of peace, of happiness, of everything that the human heart really, truly wants. Not all this material things that's shiny and bright and lasts for a little while, and then it grows with age, it gets dull, you know. I had a ring I bought one time. It was down in Mexico. And they sold it to me. I couldn't get away. They finally got me to buy a silver ring. I thought it was silver. It was nice and pretty and shiny. So I bought it, put it on. It was a good price. So I got back to Chicago, and I wore it a little bit. I don't really like to wear jewelry because it makes me sweat and makes my skin peel. But anyway, after a while, that ring didn't seem to be as shiny as it was when I first bought it. I would look at it, and as time went by, it got duller and duller and duller. Well, that's the way things are in this life. You buy a new car, you get a new house, you got to work to maintain it. You know, and it's a lot of hard work. You know, nothing is free in this life, even if you steal it. It's not going to be free. And so God has made life to teach us this vital and important lesson. We have to do it his way. Now, we know God is eternal, right? And up in heaven, there's nothing but what? Happiness, peace, joy, fullness. There's no dull moments. There's no boredom. There's no dissatisfaction. But is it that way on earth? No, it's not. We all got gripes. You know, you ask somebody, well, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right. I'm not going to tell how bad it is. I think it is. And so in our hearts, we want to put on a good face. We want to feel good, but we know, come Monday morning, you got to get up and get out and get to work, or, after the party's over with, you got to clean up. There's nothing free in this life. But God is a giver. He has it all. And God says, what am I going to do with all this that I have? I know I'll share it. I'll make a people. I will create a people, and I will share it with them. And so God is a sharer. He wants us, God is, he's never on his own had an unhappy moment. He doesn't go negative on him. If something goes bad, he's got it under control. And we have to learn that too, right? As soon as we had a bad experience, what happens in our mind? There must be some chemicals in our brains that gets turned loose and makes us feel bad, and we got to fight it. You got to start remembering what God said. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. And that's a constant struggle. And I think God put that there by design, because he wants us to get to exercise that muscle that will be so strong that once we come into the kingdom, and I use that phrase, come into the kingdom, because that's the Bible expression. I'll show you some scriptures that say that. Once you come into the kingdom, you will have the kind of mindset, the power, whereby you can live the kind of life that will be an eternal life. Can you imagine, just thinking about it right now, where your trend is? You feel like you're kind of going downhill in this physical life, and you feel like you're getting old, or your muscles aren't as strong as they used to. I was sitting there a little while ago, and somebody asked me to come back to the back. I stood up, my feet had gone to sleep on me. I almost buckled. I didn't know if I'd make it back there or not. Have you ever had experiences like that where your legs go to sleep on you? The blood stops circulating? This life is temporal. It's temporal. We're all fading away day by day by day. But God has given us the seed of eternal life, so that when we do come into eternal life, and we have it in us now, he's given us the earnest, the down payment on it all, that we will be so pumped for this life that he's going to give to all of us, those that are his. And so we're going to talk about the kingdom of God and see that this is the vehicle by which God is going to bring these things about. Started back in Genesis, and it's going to end in Revelation. It's a wonderful story. It's a beautiful story. But in this life now, we have to struggle, we have to overcome, we have to fight the powers that be, right? And it's Satan the devil, right? The prince of the power of the air. He's the one that we've got to deal with. We don't fight against flesh and blood, although we sometimes think we do, and we want to hit somebody. But when you hit them, there's somebody else to take their place. So you're going to be hitting all the time. You're never going to stop hitting, because right now, this is Satan's world. God has given him limited authority to rule. He's given him limited authority to influence us. He can't do it directly unless we give ourselves over to him. If we disobey God and seek a life of degradation, then Satan can come in and he can just snap his finger and we'll say, how high? Because that's the nature that's in us. But we have to overcome it. Acts, the 28th chapter. Let's go there. It's not on the screen, but I just want to read this scripture to you to kind of validate some of the things that I've said. Acts, the 28th chapter. This is the Apostle Paul carrying out the commission of preaching the gospel. 28:23. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Did you know the Old Testament talked about the kingdom of God? In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's just talking about the kingdom of God. And if you look at how things unfold, first God started with Adam, right? Adam failed, so Christ, I got to take his place. Then God got down to Noah. He had to destroy the whole world. Everything was gone bad. Everybody was trying to get, and there was not enough to be gotten. They were killing each other. Then God brought them through the flood. Then he had the three sons, and he had to disperse them. They wanted to form a kingdom right there. And he built this tower, which symbolized human unity. It symbolized, we are the world. We are the children. Let's make a brighter day. Let's start giving. Of course, those who are talking about the giving are the ones who are going to do the getting. And we collect money for various things that happened in this tragedy, you know, Haiti, you know. People have collected millions of dollars, and has anything changed in Haiti? People still living in tents. People can't find enough to eat. People are sick, suffering from all kinds of illnesses and diseases, which God prophesied to Adam. He told him, you're going to die. It may not happen today, but you're on a downward slide. And so, this is what God wanted man to learn, that you've got to obey me. Now, we know Donald Trump, he's the president, right? We think he's the president, or he thinks he's the president. People trying to say, no, you're not the president. And so, but he got ideas of making America great again, right? But he don't have the cooperation of everybody. But God says, I have to have everybody's cooperation. Everybody's cooperation. And can't have people going off with their own ideas about what makes up for a beautiful life. And so God, in order to establish his kingdom, he comes to do a one-to-one relationship with all of us, doesn't he? He deals with you and all of your stuff, right? And you got a lot of stuff, right? Stuff happens all the time. And once you get over some, this stuff over here, some more stuff is over there. Right? And so we go through life fighting stuff. And you just say, once I get over this trial, I hope God give me a break. But it seems like the older you get in God, in the truth of God, the less breaks that you have. Right? You go from one struggle to the next. Because God loves you. Right? The Bible says he chastens every son that he loves. So if you got it too good, things are going too smooth, too long, and you say, oh, man, I've been on it. You start getting nervous sometimes when you go too long, right? You start looking back. Wonder when God's going to load a boom on me again. Because you know that's the pattern, right? And so God wants us to trust him. To have confidence in him. Faith. You know, that's been the first lesson from the very beginning. Faith. Satan is the author of what? Doubt. Right? Did God say that? Oh, you know he didn't really mean that. You can do your own thing. And you can make life even better for yourself. I know you got it pretty good right now, but it can get even better if you do what you want to do. You know, God is not all that. And so we're being taught that there's a constant effort to undermine the power and the plan of God. Amen. From the time children start in school, they'll get the little book and they'll read, they'll see a little dinosaur pigeon. What does it say? Billions of years ago, right? God can't do something in a minute, right? You know, when God changed water into wine, he skipped a lot of steps, didn't he? You know, we didn't see no grapes growing. We didn't see no digging in the ground and planting vines and cutting it and pruning it. We didn't see no harvesting. All he did was just bring a great big bunch of pots of water. And he says, take it to the master of the feast. And he took it there and he said, this is some good stuff. You're doing things backwards. You're supposed to serve the good stuff up front so when they get drunk, They won't know the difference between the bad stuff and the good stuff. But you have brought the best. And so, God, you know, can't imagine, you know, it takes weeks and months to brew a good wine, right? Years sometimes. In fact, the older it gets, that's one of the worst things that is kind of unusual. The older it gets, the better it gets. Because there are certain processes that are going in place. And people think, well, God can't skip over steps, can he? It took billions of light to get from the furthest star to Earth. So how could God in 6 days create the heavens and the earth? And so we're taught to doubt God. We're taught to mistrust him. Or we have to work around. Well, I know it says this, but now there must be an explanation as to how it didn't happen exactly this way. You know, some people you ask them, do you believe that there was an Adam and then there was an Eve? Some people don't. How many here believe in Adam and Eve? There was a literal Adam and Eve in the garden, and God spoke directly to them and told them, don't mess with that tree. Or did we gradually evolve over millions of years, and then we finally got to the point where we organized atoms? So now we got intelligence, and now we have a will, and now we can finally do what God, he can introduce to us, to the apple or pomegranate or whatever. Mango, that's right. I love mango. My wife likes mangoes too. So she's from the where they grow a lot of mangoes. But the devil wants us to doubt him. He's constantly instilling doubt in your mind, in your heart. And isn't it easy for us to doubt God? He can perform a miracle one day, and the next day, what do we say? We pull a Janet Jackson on him, don't we? What have you done for me lately? Because we're always forgetting what God has done for us. And that's the very warning that God gave to Israel. He says, when you come into the promised land, don't forget. Don't forget. And what do we do? We forget. But God knew that they were not capable of, because you know the brain, we're losing brain cells all the time, right? And, you know, as you get older, it gets harder to remember. And sometimes you lose the memory that you have. And you know, I always wonder why time flies faster when you get older. Because you can't remember what happened yesterday. You just forget, you know. But when you're young and a kid, you know, from it used to be just a long time from one Christmas to the next. You know, you just couldn't wait. From one, then, and your brains are working, you know, snapping, you know, synapses are snapping at that time in your life. But as you get older, you know, you forgot what you did 5 minutes ago. And so you think, man, time is flying. So we have to be aware of that. Because we are human beings. We're temporal. We're mundane. And God put us in this flesh not to live forever. And so it got down to Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then finally, the 12 sons came along. And it took 400 years for them to grow into a nation. Came into Egypt. And what did God intend to do? What did he do? He covenanted with them, didn't he? You know, like he covenanted with Abraham. And here's a little secret. God always works through covenant. Does he work through covenant with us? Yes. He does. God is a God of covenant. God is sovereign, but, you know, God just kind of restricts himself, doesn't he? He could wipe us all out in a minute and say, I'm tired of these folks. But, you know, God, you know, it's not, God, we didn't surprise God when we went bad. God might have lamented a little bit, you know, there, you know, say, oh, I regret that I made man, but I think that's for our benefit. He hates to see us living the way that we do. And all the misery that we cause because we have abandoned his principles and we have not sought his kingdom, you know. And we've been in competition for the rule of God. And when we run our homes the way we want to run them, wow. So We need to understand. I need to get this slide going. I made this slide up, and I ain't used it yet. Let's see here. Yeah, well, let's try to do this. I want to get into Daniel to kind of back up the little introduction that I gave. He says, Daniel, the second chapter, verse 31. He says, "Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance." Now, this is Daniel. How many, I think most of you are familiar with the story, right? So I won't go through that part of it. "The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching," now he's speaking about Nebuchadnezzar, what he saw, his vision, "watching a rock was cut out, but not by human hands." This rock, you know, and who's the rock in the Bible? Jesus is the rock, right? In the wilderness, he was the rock. You know, he's the chief cornerstone in the building of God. "Cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer." And, you know, if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever been on the farm or not. I've never seen that process where you winnow wheat or grains. You put it down and you shake it up, and the husks fall off, and the wind just blows away the useless stuff. "The wind swept them away without leaving a trace." So all of human endeavor, when God finishes, you ain't got to worry about no museums, no historical buildings. You ain't got to worry about trying to preserve this. We got to stop progress of civilization because this is an antique. We got to keep this. You know, people have got antiques and stuff and the paintings and things that man have done, right? God's going to sweep it all away. It's not going to be one trace. "But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain." And a mountain is symbolic of what? Anybody know? It's symbolic of a government, a huge government, "and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the king. You are that head of gold, the first king." You know, and we always start out pretty good, don't we? You know, when we set up our governments, you know, we don't have a lot of debt and taxes and stuff. You know, we can, if things go along pretty good, you know, you get that new car, it's shiny. But then, after a while, what happens? "Your Majesty are the King of Kings, the God of Heaven, and has given your dominion and power and might and glory." So this is what's going to happen. In your hands, he has placed all mankind and beasts of the field and birds in the sky, whatsoever, where they live. He has made you ruler over them all." Who did this? God set Nebuchadnezzar in power, didn't he? Over the whole earth. "Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom." And it breaks it down historically what happened. You know, first you had the Babylonian Empire, and it comes down to the Roman Empire with this two split, you know, the east and the west. And then, of course, the resurrection consisting of the tolls, made of part iron and part clay. He says, "Iron and break the small for iron and smash everything as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others." So this is the power. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yes, man cannot stay together. It will be a divided kingdom. What did Christ say about a divided kingdom? It will not stand. And this will be no different. So this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strengths of iron, and it will, even as you saw, iron mixed mixed with clay, as toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. So whatever man does, it's going to have weaknesses in it. You know, we have weaknesses in our home. We start families and something always go wrong, right? Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, right? Right away we had the first murder in the family. Couldn't even handle two kids, you know, because they were doing it their own way. They had partaken of the wrong tree. And so this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw symbolizes the domain or the dominion of this world, of man's rule, man's effort to try to bring about a world of peace and happiness and joy. And it's still going on today, isn't it? We're divided up into various nations, but we have not brought about what was the ultimate goal. Oh, okay. And so we see that the power of God is going to ultimately bring about a kingdom that is going to last forever. It is going to be a kingdom of individuals who have submitted their lives to God, who have come under his authority, who are being ruled by him. And when is this going to take place? Well, we know that this image is going to be smashed. And it talks about it over in Revelation, what's going to happen with all the kingdoms of the world. All the governments that have been on this earth are going to be put down. And God is going to set up his government, the kingdom of God. And at that time, the kingdom of God is going to be in charge. And it will be a gradual process. And guess who's going to be involved in helping to establish the kingdom? You and I. God is preparing us now. He's making a way in our lives, teaching us the things that we need to know through trial and tests, proving us, preparing us for the kingdom. So, brethren, we have a tremendous opportunity ahead of us. Those of us who capture the vision, who see what God is doing and what God is working out here below, who know and understand and submit themselves to what is being done, who want to do what? Seek first. You have to seek it, right? You have to seek the kingdom of God. It's just not in you. You have to pursue it. You have to work for it. You have to strive for it. You have to really want it. And God is going to put us through our paces, right? So, brethren, be prepared. Submit yourselves to God. When you enter into trial and test, know that God is making ready for you a kingdom. And what the work that God has begun in you, what did he say? He's faithful to complete it. So don't be distressed in your life when you go through a few trials and a test, when you see sickness around you, when you have heartaches, suffering, when you have deprivation, when you have things that are not going right in your life. Know that God has put it there for a purpose. And you are that purpose, because you will evolve into the kingdom of God.